Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanis.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. My name is Dan Schaefer, and I am thrilled to bring you another episode of Fellowship Talks. Thank you for joining us today. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Amy Scrivanis.
Hey, everybody.
Amy, you doing all right today?
Doing great.
This is going to be a fun episode today. I'm really looking forward to it. We have Ben Parkinson with us, and we're going to get into a conversation, a cultural conversation, about celebrity conversions. And I'm really looking forward to this. This is a topic that a lot of people
really
are talking about.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it is something that, especially recently, people have been talking a lot about.
That's right. Yeah. But before we get there, let's kind of tell people a little bit more about what we're looking for with our Christmas episode coming up. Listeners here to the podcast, whether you're part of Fellowship or whether you're outside of Fellowship, we're looking for you to help us build our Christmas episode coming out towards the end of December. We want you to send us audio recordings of your favorite Christmas memories. Send us Christmas memories that you have growing up or with your family now, things that are really special to you, things that are really funny. Send us Christmas jokes. People may remember, Amy, that I told some bad dad Christmas jokes last year, and and they were kind of knee slappers, but at the same time, you rolled your eyes on every one of them. So,
yeah, I look forward to hearing those. I think they'll be really good. And last year, Ben, didn't you share with us some of your family traditions? Was that last year?
Yeah, it sure was.
So I look forward just to hearing some from the rest of our body, because I know that as I talk to people, different families do different things, and it's really fun to hear about those memories.
That's right. That's right. So listeners, if you would send us your voice recordings, we'd love to build this episode. You can do that by getting your voice memo app on your phone, telling us who you are, recording your favorite memory, getting your kids to help share a joke, and then just you can easily email that through the voice memo app and email that to us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. We'll get all those. We'll put those together. Amy and I will sit here and have a Christmas episode with all of Fellowship together. We're really looking forward to that. So if you want more instruction on that, that'll be in our show notes. We're looking forward to that. We're giving away a resource, Paul David Tripp's New Morning Mercies devotional book, to one person who submits it. We'll have a drawing of everyone who submits some audio recording for us, and we'll give that away and announce that on that Christmas episode as well. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be really fun. I think what'll be fun about it too is that lots of times it's just us and one other person sitting in here, but it'll feel like we have everybody in there with us.
Yeah, and I'm going to be dressed up as Santa Claus, but you won't know it because it's audio. So
awesome.
Ho, ho, ho. All right. So Amy, today we have Ben. Ben, it is good to have you here with us today.
Thanks
for coming on.
Yeah.
There's a topic in our culture right now that's real important. Everyone's talking about it. It seems to be that way anyway. Just around this idea of celebrity conversions. And most recently is Kanye West coming out and proclaiming that he's a believer and that Jesus has changed his life. And so we wanted to bring you on to the podcast and just have a conversation around that. How do we as Christians react to his proclamations? I don't think any one of us know him personally, right?
No.
So everything that we see comes from the media and what he says through the media. And so we're just kind of sitting back evaluating it like most of the rest of the church. And we're going to have a good conversation about that.
Yeah, I think you've seen that throughout. I mean, I'd say, you know, more recent pop culture going back to the 60s and 70s, there's been a number of people at times that have been famous before they made a profession of faith or a dramatic conversion to Jesus, whether it's Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, you know, Justin Bieber had a moment where people were like, what was that? And, you know, all those kind of things.
Chuck Colson was a big one too.
Absolutely. So there's a number of people at times that when they profess faith in Jesus Christ because of their previous fame, leaves Christians with multiple different opinions about all that.
That's right.
I think it's a good conversation to have.
And this is a conversation that people are having right now because Kanye released an album in late October that pretty much just lit fire and is super popular. He had over 200 million streams in the first week. And that album topped almost every chart there is, Christian or non-Christian. And,
absolutely, yeah.
Very popular. Big deal. Christians and non-Christians are all talking about this. And if you follow social medias at all, we recently had a social media episode with Connor Goad. But if you follow social media, Twitter, Instagram, the hashtag Jesus is King is trending everywhere. And so it's really interesting to see the Jesus that I love being proclaimed as king is trending everywhere. So,
yeah, I know. Yeah, just like Paul said in the scriptures, you know, we can have a good conversation about Kanye's conversion or celebrity conversion in general. But I love what Paul said when he was in prison, and there are people out there stirring up the gospel, really, even in an unhealthy way, to have him endure more persecution in prison. Mm. And his comment about that was, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being proclaimed, mm-hmm. i.e., no matter what the reason that Christ is being proclaimed, God's sovereign hand can mm-hmm. use that to bring people to faith, no matter what the original motive or intent is. Mm-hmm. So the great thing is, mm-hmm. One of the things we can celebrate as Christians is whatever the storyline that we talk about here today mm-hmm. Becomes over time, or whatever we think about all that, or whatever it is. The fact that Jesus is being proclaimed and the conversation is happening, God can use that in powerful ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so almost every person I talk to has an opinion about Kanye's conversion and proclamation of his conversion. One of the first questions I have for you, Ben, is why do Christians care so much about Kanye's conversion or any celebrity's conversion?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there are probably a couple of reasons why we do care about that more than, you know, our neighbor coming to Christ, or mm-hmm. why we talk about it more, why it's a bigger deal. It shouldn't be. That'd be one of the concluding comments that I would make mm-hmm. at the end of this whole thing. But it is. And I think part of the reason, most of the time, the reason can probably not always be the healthiest, mm-hmm. right? And I think on the one hand, we're obsessed with celebrity conversions because we're obsessed with fame mm-hmm. ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in a YouTube generation, right? I remember Time Magazine came out and, you know, when they usually release their kind of 100 most famous celebrities or, you know, most popular people, whatever it is. And there was this one Time Magazine that came out that just the cover of it looked like a mirror.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, the most, that's what they had their most influential people magazine. Mm. Like the most influential person, the idea is it's you.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, just the blowing up of YouTube and social media and all these kind of ways in which we become, mm-hmm. you know, our 15 seconds of fame, and anyone can be famous now based on all those kind of things. And you don't have to go through the traditional structures of, mm-hmm. of fame and media in order to do that. And so I think it's created a culture in which everyone, I mean, even you look now, more and more people are trying to use their social media platforms to become an influencer by which advertisers will pay them to, you know, pump up their products because they mm-hmm. have a lot of followers. Like, anyone can be an advertiser, right?
That's right.
And so I think our culture is obsessed with fame mm-hmm. in general. And so when someone who is famous then becomes a Christian, there's a part of our heart that is already geared toward that being an important part of our culture, an important part of our society, mm-hmm. Something that we mm-hmm. value, something that we look up to, something that all of us want for ourselves in some way. Mm. And so we're already obsessed with that. I think puts it in a different category on the one hand. But I think for Christians, a lot of times the reason why a celebrity coming to Christ becomes a big deal is because in some ways we feel like it can validate our faith in an unhealthy way, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, that somehow, hey, look, because this famous person now has trusted Christ and because God has saved them, man, doesn't that mean that, you know, if I felt like in general culture— Mm-hmm. you know, was kind of looking down on Christianity or on people that believe in the Bible or that believe that Jesus is the only way or whatever it is. Well, look, here's a famous person that you thought was really cool and awesome and you were given a ton of money to buy his albums and go to his concerts. Who agrees with me?
Mm-hmm. So now Christianity is cool too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's cool too, or it's validated somehow, or all of a sudden, see, we're not as dumb as you thought we were, or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
or
as like, weird as you thought.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah, out in left field or mm-hmm. off in the corner somewhere, yeah. whatever it is. It's like all of a sudden we can be mainstream too. Mm-hmm. And I think even more so, I think the reason why even maybe Kanye is then, you know, a more recent one is even a bigger deal to Christians probably than at times even some of the previous ones that we mentioned maybe have felt like, is because I do think in a postmodern era, Christianity is becoming more of a religion in America than it is kind of, in a sense, what people think of as, oh, well, Americans are Christian. Mm-hmm. And there's goods and bads to all that. I mean, mm-hmm. from that standpoint, I think in a lot of ways, separating, you know, who Christians are and who the church is from just who America is isn't necessarily a terrible thing. But I think Christians have always been the majority in America, and mm-hmm. they've always felt this sense of, you know, hey, everyone in general agrees with my basic worldview.
Right.
And the more they feel that slipping away, mm-hmm. I think something like this can feel more, even more validating mm-hmm. to them. Like, hey, maybe we can get that cultural majority back. Hey, maybe we can come back to this place where it feels like Christianity is the main religion that everyone believes in around here, and therefore I'm in the majority, mm-hmm. and everyone who doesn't agree with me is in the minority. I think there's a little bit of feel that mm-hmm. maybe it's slipping away, and here's a chance maybe for us to get it back.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That
yeah.
I think isn't necessarily important or healthy, but
right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So for people who may be listening to this podcast, and for some reason you don't know who Kanye West is, he's one of the most famous rappers of all time, and sold all kinds of albums, been at the top of the charts for a really long time, mostly for music that we would not want to promote or listen to. Mm-hmm. And in the last year, he has started becoming a little more outspoken about his conversion, and started these Sunday services that some have taken as joke and some have taken as serious over the last year. These Sunday service concerts that he's kind of called them, and had them where he's had his church services all across the country. But then more recently, he's become much more public in interviews and different things of saying that he has become a Christian, that he's given his life to Jesus, and he's now not just a rapper, but he's a rapper who's going to proclaim the truth that he believes. And he did that in his first album that dropped in late October, called Jesus is King. And so now there's a lot of question around this. And mostly what I hear from believers as they're going back and forth on this is kind of two extremes, right? Some people are like all on board, ready to listen to it. And some people are a little more skeptical about it. Ben, can you talk about these kind of two platforms that Christians sit on?
Yeah, I think in general, it's funny because Kanye even references this in one of the songs mm-hmm. on the album.
He does.
Yeah. He says, Christians, kind of in a sense, are going to be the hardest on me, you know? Mm-hmm. And he almost anticipated the skepticism side mm-hmm. of that coin. And I think in general, part of the reason why those are the two reactions is it's like on the one hand, the kind of Christian superhero mentality of mm-hmm. exalting it immediately, rushing to put him in the limelight, rushing to say, look at these concerts, rushing to, you know, I even heard, again, it's funny how new news is coming out every second, you know, heard mm-hmm. today that maybe he's going to join Joel Osteen and do something together in Houston kind of a mm-hmm. deal. You know, it's like when something like this happens, sometimes the Christian community in an unhealthy way can want to grab that celebrity status and use it, like we talked about earlier, to pump up Jesus mm-hmm. to the world. Kind of, hey, here's a lightning in a bottle moment. We got to grab it and seize it, and we got to get this person in front of everyone we can mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. now, possibly, you know, from that standpoint. Or in an unhealthy way, people can want to – they see this person as a cultural leader. Mm-hmm. They're already a leader. Mm-hmm. He's already, you know, leading out on the billboards and releasing music. He leads a team of probably musicians and dancers and a whole crew that goes around with him to do concerts. He already leads a lot of different things. You see him with the president. You see him on, you know, television doing different things. And so you already think of him as a leader. So then when they become a Christian, our natural temptation mm-hmm. is to put them in Christian leadership mm-hmm. early.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Because, well, they already have a voice, they already have a following. Let's make sure that they use that for good. So let's get them out there in front of everyone and exalt them. And yet Paul in the scriptures would say, man, you never want to do that.
Put a recent convert out in front of people to lead.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. I mean, he would say, you know, in general, that person, anyone, you know, needs mm-hmm. discipleship. They need love. They need compassion. They need care. They need to know you care about them first and foremost, not mm-hmm. about what they can do for you or do for your church or whatever people think they can do for Jesus as if he needs our help. But in general, mm-hmm. people someone can all of a sudden begin to feel this recent convert who really is, man, I mean, needs a lot of love and care and compassion. And just to know, one of the things when you come to Christ that you give up is your identity in other things, these mm-hmm. idols. And you're saying, I want to find my identity in you. Mm-hmm. One of the most damaging things the church can do is treat them as if, no, your identity is everything. Mm-hmm. Like your identity as a rapper and as a rap star and as a mm-hmm. and as a superstar, the church needs that. Mm-hmm. Like we need your identity as it is to be what it is and to use it for Jesus, or else we may lose something valuable.
Yeah, that's one of the really hard things about the church being caught up in the celebrity culture, mm-hmm. is that we're looking similar to the culture in that we want that mm-hmm. person to be on this pedestal, just like the rest of the world does with other celebrities.
And and we have to be careful, because that gets dangerous, where we start attaching agendas to it, not just respecting the genuine conversion that he's had.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So I would say not only is, I mean, it's not like, oh, Kanye wants to step up into leadership and let's keep him down. I think mm-hmm. it's not loving to someone like him mm-hmm. or to any celebrity to rush them into that. Paul mm-hmm. would warn against that, acknowledging, man, listen, when any of us come to Jesus, we're a, you know, an infant in Christ. We're a mm-hmm. brand new babe. We've been born again. We're a new creation, and we still have maturing and growing to do. All of us still make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in ministry, you know, 25 years, and I still make a ton of mistakes mm-hmm. and still, you know, sin and still struggle with things. But man, early on to know that, I mean, this person's going to end up probably making some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a number.
I would.
Right, exactly. Right. So probably a number of mistakes. And what happens when you rush them into leadership and they make those mistakes in a big public way because mm-hmm. they're being put in front of everyone as a leader
mm-hmm.
is that's one of the first reasons why people say, well, see, it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, it didn't
mm-hmm.
take. See, it was just fake.
So it sets them up for failure. Yeah,
in a way that's just not healthy or helpful mm-hmm. to them at all. Like mm-hmm. I'd say the most loving thing you can do for anybody is not put them in that position.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side of the coin, so that's kind of the people that want to exalt them too early that's unhealthy.
Right.
But then people that also, the skeptical side of it,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times we can get skeptical because in some ways, I mean, there can be some real unhealthy psychological reasons for that for some Christians, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like, well, man, I thought, you know, believing in Jesus meant you walked away from fame and fortune and wealth and money and all these kind of things. And we kind of don't want someone to have both somehow.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost
mm-hmm.
jealous of it. So we're kind of like, well, I'm not sure it's real, or, well, let's see if it takes, you know, because on the one hand, it kind of feels like, well, surely because they've sold themselves out to the world to become, to have all these things I don't have,
mm-hmm.
then this can't really be real, you mm-hmm. know, kind of a thing in an unhealthy way.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get skeptical on the other side of the coin. And I think in some ways when people are skeptical, I think they're trying to lean on scriptural ideas in mm-hmm. that. It's not like it's coming from nowhere. I mean,
right.
Jesus talked mm-hmm. about the parable of the sower. You know, we talked about that this last Sunday when it comes to the narrow gate and wide gate. But in general, Jesus did say, yeah, some seed's going to fall in rocky soil. It's going to fall at times in the weeds and the cares of the world. Wealth and all these kind of things may choke it out. You know, falls amongst the side of the road where persecution, you know, when it comes, may end up. I mean, at the end of the day, Jesus talks about the fact that people are going to have spiritual experiences at times
mm-hmm.
that aren't necessarily sincere because they didn't really count the cost
mm-hmm.
about what it means to lay down your life to follow Jesus and to mm-hmm. say, not my will, but yours be done. Mm-hmm. It's been bought with a price. It's no longer mm-hmm. mine, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to do with my life. Like, there's a sincere faith that Jesus acknowledges some people have a spiritual experience that isn't that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes people are just saying, well, the Bible says that can't happen, so let's wait and see. And I know it's kind of become a big hot button phrase, right?
Right.
Like, wait and see. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are jumping on Christians and say, wait and see, and saying, well, that's unhealthy. Why would you say that? Like, he's a believer. Why? Like, mm-hmm. he's claiming to know Christ. Why would you say wait and see? That's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what they're reacting to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's healthy to have more of a skepticism about a guy like Kanye than anybody else.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. But I think in general, biblically speaking, you know, there are moments where Jesus would say, you know, hey, even when he talks about people, you know, who were wolves in sheep's clothing in the scripture, or,
mm-hmm.
and I think a great passage when he talks to his disciples about this idea, he talks about his wheat and tares,
mm-hmm.
right? So he talks about a healthy wheat field of sincere faith, but he says there's going to be some woven in
mm-hmm.
to the church that aren't sincere, that aren't healthy,
mm-hmm.
and those look like tares. So it's an interesting thing when you do a study on wheat and tares, what you recognize is they look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until harvest comes when you break them open and the wheat has golden grain in it that's good and wonderful, and the tares are black and kind of dead on mm-hmm. the inside. And Jesus makes a point there in that passage. His point is, hey, when God comes— at the harvest, mm-hmm. then we'll know who's who. But he makes a point to the disciples, says, if you go and try and take the tares out in the midst of the wheat, you're going to inadvertently uproot a bunch of good wheat with it, mm-hmm. and you may end up doing damage to people who do have a sincere faith if you try and go through and say, I think you are, you aren't, I think you are, you aren't, to the degree that we're trying to judge that.
So that skeptical mentality of looking at it and say, wait and see before we welcome him into the brotherhood and sisterhood of our church, mm-hmm. that's a danger.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Jesus would say, if someone professes my name and says they place their faith in me, you welcome them with open arms, believe mm-hmm. that, believe the best about that, and begin to disciple mm-hmm. them. Don't exalt them in an unhealthy way like we talked mm-hmm. about, but don't make them prove something mm-hmm. to you to prove that they're a Christian. That's unhealthy too. I mean, that's mm-hmm. kind of gets to that whole, hey, clean your life up before you're good enough yeah. for church mentality, which we wouldn't put that on our neighbor. We wouldn't put that on the person that walks off the street and prays to receive Jesus in a church service. Mm-hmm. So why would you put that on a celebrity? I think that's just as unhealthy.
You know, I need to confess that I fall more on the skepticism side, and I really came to a place where I believe the Holy Spirit showed me that I'm that brother of the prodigal son who's sitting there wondering if it's all real and a little upset that the brother's getting everything that he's getting and I'm kind of being left out. And, you know, I fell victim to spreading some of the gossip about what was not true about some of his Sunday services. So some things that I'd heard from other people and just spread those rumors before I confirmed whether it was real or not. And I had to go back and say, you know what, I was wrong in that. And so my heart, my tendency is to fall into that. So I can understand where people are going with that, but we really have to check our hearts and make sure that we're doing it out of pure and righteous reasons and we're doing it for loving reasons and not doing it because we're just being judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a real temptation for all of us. I appreciate you sharing that. I think a lot of Christians, when they say wait and see, sometimes what they're saying in a healthy way is, hey, I don't know if this is a sincere profession of faith or not. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. true. I don't know Kanye at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know him. I don't know his conversion
moment. I don't want to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because there could be an unhealthy thing of like we said, about exalting mm-hmm. the kind of celebrity Christian in an unhealthy mm-hmm. way. I don't know him. Mm-hmm. I don't yeah. know the moment that he said he prayed to receive Christ. I don't know what that was about. I wasn't mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, I think it's okay to say, hey, honestly, I'm praying for him. I hope it's sincere. Mm-hmm. I hope the seed's falling on the good soil and that mm-hmm. through discipleship and through humbly submitting himself to good spiritual leadership, he's going to grow and that's going to come to fruition. I don't know, not because I'm skeptical of his conversion.
Right.
I don't know, just because I don't know him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't know is okay to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what the unhealthy side of the kind of let's wait and see is it's probably not because he's famous. Like some people, kind of, the more famous you are, it's probably not real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because Jesus gave some warnings about, you know, yeah. he gives warnings about, man, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass the eye of a needle. Uh-huh. Why? Because you have a lot of earthly success that uh-huh. you're being asked to lay at the foot of the cross and say it doesn't matter anymore. And Jesus acknowledges, yeah, like when he mm-hmm. when he looked at the rich young ruler, he said, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus knew. I mean, the only thing you need to do to be saved is to believe in me. But what that means is you're willing to let me do with your life whatever I want to do. So mm-hmm. what did he say? He said, well, yeah, just give up all your possessions and follow me. And the guy, dejected, walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he felt like, well, man, that's a lot to give up, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why people are skeptical, but it's not any harder than me giving up mm-hmm. my stuff to follow Jesus.
And the hilarious part for me and how God works sometimes is that actually the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart through one of Kanye's new songs. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it already, Ben, but I just wanted to read a verse or two from it. It's called Hands On. It's on the new Jesus King album. And you have to remember as you're listening to this, he's a rapper, so he says it in rapper form, all right? And I'm not a rapper, so I'm just going to read what he said. So he said, I'm fixing to do a gospel album. And then he says, what have you been hearing from Christians? They'll be the first ones to judge me, make it feel like nobody loved me. They'll be the first ones to judge me, feeling like nobody loved me. And then he says in the next verse, he says, I deserve all the criticism you got. If that's all the love you have, that's all you got. To sing of change, you think I'm joking. To praise his name, you ask what I'm smoking. Yes, I understand your reluctancy. Yeah, but I have this request, you see. Don't throw me up. Lay your hands on me. Please pray for me. Mm. And that's where the conviction came in yeah. my heart is I've been talking a lot about this, but I haven't been doing a lot of praying about this and praying for someone who says that they are now in the same faith that I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're really powerful lyrics. And the insight that he has in those lyrics to say, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like to even be able to humbly confess, I understand why you'd be skeptical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To me, that speaks a lot to the sincerity of what he's going through.
Right. There's some clarity there about his own life, about where he is. And I agree, Dan. When I heard those lyrics the first time, too, it was very convicting. Just even thinking about how, as we as believers respond to someone who is a celebrity, who is converted to Christ, what our response, how that witnesses to the rest of the world about who we are as believers. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he's seen that over time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why this conversation is really important, is how can we respond in ways that are loving and gracious and biblical all at the same time?
That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think what we may not realize is some of our unbelieving friends and neighbors—
They're watching us.
They're watching us, and when they hear how we talk about Kanye, they're going to put themselves into that conversation at times and say, oh, so if I came to Jesus, you'd probably be that skeptical or critical about me too, or I would have to prove a lot to you before you would accept me or let me come into your fold or, you know, show up or come into a D group or whatever it is. I think sometimes we don't realize, you know— It's just like at home with our kids, right? I mean, the way we talk about our parents and our in-laws is the way they're going to talk about us. Like, we don't realize we're like influencing people all the time, even when we think we're in safe spaces or whatever it is. Right. We are discipling people all the time.
So true.
Yeah. I was reading an article by Trevin Wax. He writes for the Gospel Coalition every once in a while. And he was writing on this topic. And one of the things that he said was, I think that celebrity conversions say more about us than it does actually them. Mm. So how do we handle this in a healthy way as believers? I know we've been talking about that, but what does it look like for us to handle these conversations in a healthy way?
Yeah, I think in general, I mean, the thing that I think the best litmus test for me when it comes to this is, am I thinking about this conversion the way I would anybody's?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I mean, if I take the fame out of it, am I treating this person, thinking about this person the same way I would— just in our church context, someone that comes up to the Connection Center and says, I want to trust Christ. Mm-hmm. Am I thinking about the same way? Mm-hmm. And so I think in general, am I being healthy with it or not? Am I thinking about the same way I'd think about a neighbor, a coworker, a family member? And then even ask the question, am I thinking about it the way I'm thinking about someone who I know, who I know it's sincere? Mm-hmm. Like, am I hopeful for that? To your point, am I praying for that, toward that end? So I think that's one way that we can handle it in a healthy way, is to check that. The other thing is to make sure that we're not putting our hope in a celebrity to validate Christianity.
Right, exactly.
Culturally, to validate it for ourselves, but that we would say Jesus is enough. Like, the fact that Jesus is the king and he's the center of it, he's the creator of the universe— that's what my hope is in. Mm-hmm. Whether Christianity is popular in America or in the world or not, whether I feel things slipping away culturally or whatever or not, like the fact that he is sovereign, he's king, he made all this, and he's in control, in a sense, he's the only celebrity that I need. Like, the fact that Jesus is on my team should give me every confidence I need to walk with him, even if no celebrities ever agree with me.
That's right. That's right. So,
Yeah.
There's a pureness in some of Kanye's recent comments that I think are really just joyful to me as seeing a new believer in some of the things that he said. One of the recent interviews, he was talking about why he put out this new album, and he said, "Music is my job. That's why I'm putting out the album. Serving God in everything that I can do is my job. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the planet, is to be service and in fear, love, and service to God. I've been radically saved. I believe that message, and I want to get that message out to the world." Mm. And we see that from new believers in Jesus, who their lives have been changed, and they want others to hear this message. And that's what we're seeing from him right now.
Yeah, yeah. I think on the one hand, it'd probably be unfair of us to demand that he not use his platform that he has to name the name of Jesus Christ and to share about his new faith. Mm-hmm. You know, at the same time, is there wisdom, like you saw with the Apostle Paul when he got converted from being Saul, and he kind of went away for a while, and part of that was out of the church not believing him either, right? Mm-hmm. And talk about a famous celebrity. celebrity conversion in their yeah. day. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy that's been persecuting us, that's famous for persecuting us, and he became a Christian. And you see him in Galatians, it talks about his time away being discipled and learning for 3 years before he really showed back up and started representing the church. At the same time, the day he was converted, he started talking about Jesus, and that's part of what kind of stirred up some controversy.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
I think we need to give kind of the freedom to use his platform to talk about his faith. I think there can be wisdom at time, too, for him to also say, hey, I got some growing to learn to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things we can do is hope for him, what we would hope for anybody, like you shared about the lyrics, pray for him the way we pray for anybody in the midst of that. And then give him the freedom to make mistakes as a young believer, like we talked about. He's going to be That's immature. Right. Mm-hmm. He's going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean it wasn't real any more than when we make mistakes, it's not real.
Mm. Yeah.
Give him the freedom to make mistakes. And then I would say this, if it proves over time to wane, to be choked out like the seed in the parable of the sower, that shouldn't make us skeptical toward the next person. You know, God's got everyone on their own unique journey, and it is what it is. And I'm always hopeful until it proves otherwise, you know. And then when it does, that doesn't mean I'm not hopeful the next time. You know?
Last question I have for you, Ben, just around this topic, and I've actually heard this from other people, and I've heard this from parents of preteens and teens more than others, but should parents be okay with their kids listening to this new Kanye album? It may seem like a silly question, but I mean, I kind of had my own experience here in the church in the office one day where I put on this album and I was listening to it on Spotify, and I got up and left my office because I had to go do something somewhere else, and I forgot to push pause on my music, and I came back to some things playing that I would never want playing across my radio.
No.
Playing some other Kanye songs. But it brings up that question, should parents be okay with their kids listening to this, or should they have some discretion in there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in general, that's, you know, when it comes to pairing those kind of things, that tends to be more of an individual decision. As a pastor and an elder at a church, you know, I try to be careful what we declare wade into as good or bad when it comes to certain things. I think we can speak to sin directly. When it comes to things that are more wisdom oriented, different people are going to have different conviction levels about that, and I think that's okay. I mean, it's like thinking about it through my own grid, Amy and I have always listen to both Christian and secular music with our girls. And we haven't really kind of put a I mean, obviously there's a certain filter and level of music that and certain kind of content lyrics and things we say, hey, like we're not going to play that around the house or whatever it is. But at the same time, I just in general, we always wanted to engage our kids in the conversation about non-Christian lyrics. Knowing that the people that are writing those verses and lyrics, they're pouring out their heart in a fallen, broken world, maybe from a fallen, broken perspective, but they're still longing for God, right? They have that God-shaped hole that they're trying to fill with the things of the world. And a lot of times, even secular songs are pointing to how the things of the world don't meet those needs. They're crying out in pain or in suffering or whatever it is, in angst or all these kind of things about a broken world. You can talk to your kids about how Jesus answers those questions, or if they're kind of making an idol out of partying or out of a relationship or whatever, you can talk to your kids about, hey, you know, really no human being, no matter how sweet that love song is, your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your wife, your husband is never going to be God. They're not big enough for that, even though that song makes it sound like they can be. So there's ways to disciple your kids around lyrics and music, Christian or non-Christian, that I think can be healthy. So that's where I'd say when it comes to an album like this, I mean, I would just obviously, like any parent, I would always read the, depending on the age of your kid, I'd always read the lyrics. But I mean, to me, the idea of, are we going to introduce him to Kanye and they're going to explore his other music? I think you just got to be discipling your kids through that.
So it's a good question to ask.
Absolutely.
The answer may be different depending on the family and the kids.
Yeah. And the age of the kids. Yeah.
I think even as we're talking, I'm just sitting here thinking, I haven't really even talked about this with my kids. And I know that I have teenagers. I know they're, you know, they love, teenagers are always drawn to celebrities. They're always watching celebrities much more than I am. We were laughing about that earlier. I'm kind of clueless on the celebrity world. but just realizing this is a great opportunity to have these conversations with our kids to help them know how to navigate their faith in our world today and as it pertains to celebrities. And
that's really good.
But Dan, I would say I do think to the degree that you want to let your kids listen to the Jesus is King album, and I've listened to it and looked at the lyrics, and they all are fairly theologically sound. I think to the degree that you want to use this album in your family's life to glorify God and sing his praises, I think that's fine. And I would say no matter what plays out, that's a whole different podcast for a whole different day about even spiritual leaders who at times may, let's say eventually someone like a Kanye falls off and it feels like, man, what, you know, like maybe he goes and does something totally, not just a few, you know, some sins here and there or struggles or goes through a dark period. Maybe he totally rejects Christ and goes off the deep end. Well, what was that? You know, and it, can that still be used for God's glory? That'd be a whole different conversation for a different day. But I think sometimes we kind of feel like, oh, if someone ends up falling off or renouncing Christ or doing something crazy later in life, then what God used them for earlier in their life is tainted and it was broken and maybe it was never healthy. And that's a whole different conversation.
That
but
is.
To me, I'm not afraid of using something like this to glorify God, even if the story turns out different.
That's good. That's a good word. Ben, thanks for stepping into this cultural piece with us today. And speaking of cultural and gospel in culture, as we've talked about this a little bit today, there's something else that you have coming down the line in the next couple of months around actually called Gospel in Culture, right?
Yeah. So we did a sermon series back a couple of years ago called Gospel in Culture, where we just wanted to address certain topics and talk about how it's not gospel versus culture, but how does the gospel enter into culture. And so we're going to have another sermon series come up here in January around some more topics. Specifically, we're going to talk about technology and the gospel in technology, the gospel in immigration, and what does that cultural conversation look like, the gospel in gender identity and some of those things. So we're going to have a conversation to a sermon series. But also what we're excited about launching out of that is recognizing that, man, as we preach through books of the Bible and through different sermon series we need to do, we may not always be able to stop and talk about things like this. Cultural conversations that come up that'd be great to address, but we're just not going to – the text isn't going to take us there anytime soon. And so what we're going to do is we're going to launch a video podcast, if you will, off of this called Gospel and Culture. But these are just going to be like 5 to 6 minute quick hit – kind of answers to questions, and people are going to be able to send in questions, and we'll try and answer their questions. So it's going to be driven by people who are asking a specific question that we can answer. But they're going to be 5 to 6 minute videos, 7 at the most probably, that will be sent out through social media. You can follow it, and you can ask questions, and we'll answer those questions as they come down the pipe. And we're really excited about it because I think it will give us a voice to answer questions and issues like this in a quick way. If someone's like, man, what does the church think about this? Or what does the Bible say about that?
Yeah.
What I'm excited about is where we see it really partnering well with Fellowship Talks is like here we've been able to have a 30-minute conversation about this.
Right.
Well, in 5 to 6 minutes, I mean, you know.
You're not going to cover everything.
No. Yeah. Like the only thing I would have said about Kanye in something like that is, you know, hey, like, don't be too skeptical, and at the same time, don't make him a hero. All right, great, thanks, see you later. You know? So that can give you, oh, yeah, okay, and let me think about that.
Right.
But it's not this kind of conversation. And so what I'm excited about that Fellowship Talks does is, one, it gets to take what we talk about on Sunday and go deeper with it instead of stuff we're not talking about on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then, two, we can have in-depth conversations about some of these cultural kind of things. And so, but we will also want to be able to get something out there where people are like, hey, I got a few minutes. Man, let me be discipled in something out there culturally and just give me a quick biblical view of it. So we're excited about launching that too and seeing how those things partner together.
Yeah, so this Gospel and Culture video cast, whatever platform it goes out on, we're still working out some of those details, but it's going to be bite-sized nuggets on how to handle cultural things from a biblical lens.
Yeah. Awesome. And really also answering questions that people send in. So that's the goal of it.
That's just great
for us to come up with the content, but to answer questions people are asking.
That's really good. I'm excited about that and how we can use that on Fellowship Talks too.
Yeah. And so is this something just during that series, or will this be an ongoing thing for people to be able to?
Great point. Yeah. So we're going to have a Q&A panel at the end of the series, like we did with our eternity series there, where we'll answer some questions. But no, this is something that we'll launch and that'll, moving forward, will just be an ongoing thing. You know, we're talking about right now, would it be every other week, would it be weekly? We'll just have to see what the demand is and how many questions we get. But yeah, this will be something moving forward that'll just be
That's great.
An ongoing ministry.
That's really good. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, Fellowship, don't forget to send in your Christmas memories. Amy and I are looking forward to hearing those and teaming with Dave, our sound engineer, to put all that stuff together and to work on that. We want to hear from you. Send those thoughts to fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. It was a good episode today, Amy. I'm really excited for where we're going with our next episodes coming up. You can hear us again in 2 weeks. But until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.